This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen and Noel Lim. 7:06 a.m. Monday the 11th of January, and in about 15 minutes we're going to be talking about the possibility of another full-scale MCO and its impact on business with Datuk Shamsuddin Bardan, Executive Director of the Malaysian Employers Federation. But before that, we are taking a look at the markets.
Well, the US markets at the end of the last week were green. In fact, they closed quite strongly. The Dow was up 0.2%, the S&P 500 closed up 0.6%. But the Nasdaq was up 1%, closing off a strong week there. If we take a look at the Nasdaq year-to-date, it's up about 2.4%. Well, it's only been 10 days year-to-date, so just keep that in mind. Asian markets also primarily in the green at the close last week. We had Hong Kong up 1.2%. Japan was up 2.4%. Korea was up 4% at the end of last week. The two markets in the red that I see here were Shanghai and Australia, both down in the red by about 0.15 to 0.2%. So nothing too much to shout about there. But if we take a look closer to the region at the end of last week, Singapore closed in the green 3%. And the FBM KLCI closed just under 2% at 1.9%. So a strong showing from a lot of the bursars at the end of the last week.
And for more information on global markets this morning, we're speaking with Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us today. So now that the Democrats are in control of both Congress and the Senate, is unlimited fiscal stimulus taken as a given? Which areas of the US economy will this injection be directed to?
And good morning and happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you too.
Yes, as hard as we can try to make it a happy Monday, I guess. Look, it won't be unlimited stimulus, and there are fiscal rules around what the Senate can and can't do. There's something called the Byrd Rule, which basically on a 10-year horizon stops the government raising unlimited stimulus or spending an unlimited amount of money without a converse rise in revenues, et cetera, et cetera. So basically it has to match off revenues and expenditures. And in order to override it, you need 60 votes in the Senate, and the Democrats don't have that. And in fact, some of their senators are very almost Republicans, actually. So it's not a simple process. Clearly, there's ways around it because Donald Trump did it with his tax cuts. We are going to see, as Mr. Biden put it, a multi-trillion dollar stimulus or an attempt to do so, but it won't be unlimited. As far as where it's going, it's clear that it will be going to pandemic relief, so direct checks to U.S. citizens. Infrastructure, green energy were two of the other hot topics that were also mentioned as well. So I'm expecting green energy, environment, infrastructure, which of course the US badly needs if you've ever been over there, and direct fiscal stimulus.
Well, with this multi-trillion stimulus that you mentioned, this will obviously worsen budget deficits. And when there's more spending, it might also push up inflation. How does that affect your interest rate and dollar outlook?
I think there's never been a better time, to be honest, for governments to actually raise lots and lots of debt, particularly if it's long-term bonds, because rates have never been cheaper. So to me, they should be doing a lot more of it right now anyway, because that debt won't be expensive even if and when rates ever normalize. And we're all sitting here panicking about US 10 years moving through 1%. So it's a funny old world these days. I don't think that we have to worry about interest rates running away as yet. I do believe that inflation will tick slightly higher as the world recovers in 2021. But we've been looking for inflation for 15 years and it suddenly hasn't occurred. So although there may be some short-term inputs into inflation over 2021, I don't think it's going to run away from us. And although I expect U.S. Rates in particular to grind a bit higher, yet I just don't see the Federal Reserve allowing those interest rates to run away to the top side.
Jeff, let's jump over to Japan for a bit. Equities are nearing their 30-year highs there. Is there a concern that the strengthening yen might curtail this bull run? And what's driving the dollar-yen demand recently?
In a word, no, I would say that. I mean, we have to understand that this bull market is being driven by the search for yield in a 0% world. And all these central banks flooding the world's financial system with 0% money. So that's having an inevitable move into asset price inflation, of which, of course, equities is one of the prime beneficiaries. Let's remember that it's taken Japan 30 years to recover to these levels, when we put it in context like that, after their deflationary meltdown in the 1990s. So they're really, you know, back to just where they were probably in the early 1990s, as I said. So I believe Japan will be a cyclical play. So as the world recovers, money will move into Japan because it should be quite a prime beneficiary. It does a lot of business in China and in the US, so it has both bases covered. As far as the yen strength goes, I don't think it's nearly enough. It would have to be down to around 1995 versus the dollar in order for that to really impact. What's driving dollar yen at the moment is yield differentials. So the move higher in the US 10-year yield versus the 10-year JGB in Japan, dollar yen is extremely sensitive to that interest rate differential because of Japanese pension fund managers moving money back and forth. So as long as US yields stay firm, I expect dollar yen to stay firm.
And Jeff, Brent crude has crossed the $56 per barrel mark. What's underpinning the recent gains that we've been seeing in oil prices? Does OPEC have a range that it considers sustainable?
In a nutshell, this is Saudi Arabia unilaterally cutting production by 1 million barrels a day through to the end of February. That was a huge surprise. It caught me on the hop as well. I wasn't expecting it. I believe that Saudi Arabia and the rest of OPEC want Brent crude to settle in a $55 to $60 range at the moment, until the world recovery really starts picking up, which I don't really expect till sort of well into Q2. At that level, it's enough to start filling the coffers, which are sadly depleted of OPEC plus member states, but it's not enough. The prices aren't high enough to see a huge flood of US shale producers coming back into the markets and then adding that that production back into global markets. So I think 55-60 is the sweet spot to improve the economics of OPEC plus members, but keep those US shale barbarians at the gate from the gates.
Speaking about the barbarian at the gates, Malaysia is potentially facing stricter movement restrictions from this week onwards. What impact is that going to have on our local equities, especially the recent rotation into cyclicals?
Look, we saw the KL stock market, the stock exchange, move lower on Friday initially because of these impending restrictions. But it's obviously had a really good day on Friday. It quickly retraced those losses and had a sparkling finish to the week. I think that Malaysia is a huge cyclical play, as is Singapore, Indonesia, and the other ASEAN stock markets. So I believe that any sell-off will be short in duration in Malaysia because investors will be looking past these short-term movement restrictions and into the greater global recovery in 2021. And as far as some of these stars, such as the glove makers, go, there's still a huge business for that. I mean, they're heavily used in the semiconductor industry for assembling all the little devices that we take for granted today. And that's certainly not going away, even if COVID-19 eventually fades.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Jeff. That was Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda, talking to us about international markets. And as he says, it's a funny old world indeed.
Yes, and speaking of stock markets, I'll be remiss to not mention the fact that on the Breakfast Grill this morning at 8 a.m., Wong Xiaoning will be speaking with Dr. Mohamed Omar Swift, the CEO of Bursa. And so he's coming on the hot seat to discuss a variety of issues, including, I guess, Malaysia's place as a regional stock market, right? It last year in 2020, it was one of the better performing stock markets in the region with a total capitalization of 1.7 trillion ringgit thereabouts. So we're going to be discussing all this and more where Bursa is heading today on the Breakfast Grill at 8:05 a.m. Don't miss it.
Be sure to stay tuned. In the meantime, a quick look at a piece of international news. So a strong end to 2020's paved the way for some of America's top banks to buy back more than $10 billion of their shares in the first quarter as loan losses of the pandemic year receded and capital markets appear to fire on all cylinders.
Yeah, on the lead is JP Morgan. They're expected to lead the way with buybacks. I think they're looking at spending around $3.2 billion on its own shares by the end of March, based on analyst forecasts compiled by the Financial Times, and the remaining $7.4 billion or so is spread across Bank of America, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley. So analysts are expecting these buybacks to come in close to the maximum permitted under the Federal Reserve decree in late December, which I guess this move kind of surprised investors by allowing banks to resume buybacks and return billions to shareholders while also flattering bank earnings per share.
Yeah, if you remember back in March, banks voluntarily halted share repurchases as the pandemic threatened a steep recession and essentially a potential catastrophic dip in their in loan losses. The Fed's June stress test banned buybacks until the end of 2020 and capped dividends at a level linked to recent profits and payouts. In fact, we saw if we look at the earnings of the big banks, they all had those loan loss provisions that were quite significant, right? So they estimated well and prepared themselves for this, and it now looks like they're going back to the rewarding shareholders soon enough.
So now, of course, the big question is how aggressive are these banks going to be on their buybacks, as well as over what time frame? We'll be bringing you more updates on this as we get it ourselves. But right now, some messages for you. And up next, looking at the possibility of another full-scale MCO and its impact on business with Dato' Shamsuddin Bardan of the MEF. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.